The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of its host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. This is Buffett and Beyond with Dr. J.B. Farwell, the world's premier radio broadcast based on the investment methodology of the greatest investor of all time, Warren E. Buffett. Dr. J.B. Farwell is a renowned investment strategist, market thinker, and author of the leading book on stock selection, Buffett and Beyond. A veteran of the financial industry for more than 30 years, Dr. Farwell has developed groundbreaking investment strategies for professional money managers and continues to serve as a university professor. Stay tuned for cutting-edge insight that will help you to develop consistency, predictability, and unparalleled success in your investment portfolio. Now, Buffett and Beyond. Here's Dr. J.B. Farwell.
Another happy investment day to all you Buffett fans, Buffett devotees, and Buffett aficionados out there in investment land. Welcome to Buffett and Beyond, the program designed to help you select stocks in the same way as Warren Buffett, the world's greatest investor ever. Yes, folks, if you want to live like Jimmy Buffett, you've got to learn how to invest like Warren Buffett. And here on the Buffett and Beyond show, we'll teach you how to invest like Warren. Sorry, folks, you're going to have to figure out the living part all by yourself. Hi, folks. This is your host, Dr. J.B. Farwell, along with Debbie, and the question she has from our listeners out there in investment land. We have some great stocks to go over today, including the logging and paper industry. And you'll soon find out whether these stocks should be in your portfolio or somebody else's portfolio. Then again, we come across a few stocks that should be in nobody's portfolio. In other words, we'll look at the good, the bad, and the ugly. And just before we get to Debbie and our stock questions sent in by you listeners, I want to very briefly discuss the methodology that we here at Buffett and Beyond Research use for our stock selection process. And it's easy enough, folks, and all you have to do is follow along and you'll catch on to this quick like a bunny. All right, first and foremost, and absolutely, we would like to make the process of selecting stocks as easy as deciding which bank we should put our money in, for CDs and savings accounts. The answer is the bank that's paying the highest amount of interest on our deposits. That's pretty easy. And if you think about it, the rate of interest a bank pays us is really a return on equity, or ROE, return on equity. We begin the year with $100 in our bank account. This is our equity. We receive $10 in interest during the year, and this is our return. So the return of $10 divided by the $100 in equity that we started at the beginning of the year gives us $10, the return, divided by $100, our equity, for a return on equity of, in this case, 10%. Now, the good thing is that the banks figure this all out for us, and they do it on the CDs, too, so we don't have to go through these calculations in our heads sitting out in the bank parking lot with our calculators. Yeah, when we look at this big sign up there on the marquee overlooking the bank, it says CDs, 5%, bank accounts, 3%, and on and on and on. And that's really a return on equity. No, so bank A is paying us 10% on our deposits. Bank B is, say, paying 25%. Or 25% versus 10% on our deposits. And the only question that we have to answer is, which bank do we put our money in? Well, it's simple, folks. It's going to be the bank that's paying us the highest amount of interest, because the risk is all the same in the banks because they're all insured by the FDIC. So when we compare interest rates from banks, all we have to do is look at the interest rate, and the bank with the highest interest rate is going to get our business. Now, if it was this easy to select stocks, then we would all be as rich as Warren Buffett, and we're not. In other words, what if we could actually select stocks that are paying the highest return on equity or earning the most money from their operations based on the amount of money investors have put into the company? Well, folks, there is a way to compare one stock to another in this manner. And there's only one, and I repeat, only one method that is available that allows us to compare the earning capacity or the operating efficiency of one company to that of another, just like the banks. However, to use the same method with stocks, we need to make some changes with the traditional accounting numbers. And the accounting profession, a very, very long time ago, understood that neither the income statement nor the balance sheet gave investors the numbers that we needed to effectively compare the operating efficiency of one company to another. And thus, a system called clean surplus was born. Clean stands for comparable, and surplus stands for profits. Clean profits or clean surplus stands for comparable profits. All right, now this method term clean surplus was developed by the accounting profession a very, very, very long time ago. And I came across this method by pure accident during research for my PhD dissertation. And folks, I went back to school after I had been in the investment world for about 15 years or so. And I knew exactly what I was looking for. I was looking for a better stock selection method. But I had I not been reading several books on Warren Buffett along with his reports to shareholders, I never would have come to the conclusion that Buffett used clean surplus. Duh, just luck? Well, luck is when opportunity meets preparation, and I was preparing, and here came those books that I was reading, so yeah, the opportunity was born. And the rest is history. We have 20 years of research history, a PhD dissertation, a book, Buffett and Beyond, and also state and national approval of a seminar by the accounting profession that this seminar can be used to thousands of accountants across the state of Florida and across the entire United States. And now we have 8 years of CPA-reviewed portfolio results that show the clean surplus method to be the cat's meow. Folks, after you hear this show a couple of times and you get the investment newsletter that we send out for free, it's free, folks, when you look at the numbers on the letter or on our website, and the website is buffettandbeyond.com, BuffettandBeyond.com. Buffett is spelled with two F's and two T's. So if you go to that website, you can order the free newsletter, or you can call us at 561-906-6300, and we'll send it to you by snail mail if you prefer reading it in letter form rather than on the computer. So once you see these numbers, you'll say, wow, this is the easiest system ever. It's just like picking which bank I should put my money in. And this is how we select stocks on this program. And we put the rules and the parameters into effect. And we have been selecting portfolios now for the past eight years that have well outperformed the S&P 500. So you can find the information in my book, which is appropriately titled Buffett and Beyond, and also in the summary on our website on the link, What is Clean Surplus? And you get maybe a two-page summary of what it is, and you'll see that clean surplus really works. And guess what, folks? We do all the number crunching for you. You receive our free newsletters, our special report that comes out quarterly that puts all the stocks that we have analyzed on this show, including the 10 or 12 that we're going to do today, in this special report. And you can see which stocks should be in your portfolio, which stocks should be in somebody else's portfolio, and which stocks should be in nobody's portfolio. All right, bottom line, we do all the calculations for you, and then we select the stocks. And think of your bank account. The stocks that have the highest clean surplus ROEs are the stocks we want to put our money in. And all you have to do is remember that we want stocks that pay us a high and consistent return on equity. And you'll get this as we go on the program when we discuss the stocks. So we want stocks that pay us a high and consistent return on equity, just as we want to put money in the bank that pays us a high and consistent return on the money that we put in the bank. All right, folks. Let's get into some stocks, and quick like a bunny, you'll see how this works. All right, Deb, let's get on to our first stock question, or I guess it's our first email that somebody sent us.
All right, JB. We received an email from Jack Gollinger, and I wanted to read exactly what he said. He says, "Hey, JB, I just love the brief description you give on each company that you analyze on your show. I learned so many little tidbits that I never knew about some of the companies I own in my portfolio. Of course, your clean surplus ROE numbers are just fantastic, and you've helped me stay away from some of those ugly stocks you talk about. I owe you lunch one of these days, and don't forget to bring Debbie along." I'm for that, JB. And he says, "All the best in your radio show, and keep up the good work."
John, thanks a lot for those comments. And what John's talking about is each time we analyze a stock on this program, we pick a stock that you folks ask us about, and then I pick some other stocks along with that stock in the same industry so we can get a good comparison, because I hate to say just yes or no to a particular stock, because I like to give you a stock in that industry that might be better than the stock that you asked the question about. And I like to read the little summaries because sometimes I learn things that I didn't pick up in the first 30 years of being in the investment world. And companies are changing all the time, such as going international. That's a big theme that we talk about on this show, because we like U.S. companies that are going international, because that's where the growth is. And we want the U.S. companies because we have full accounting. We can get full accounting on these companies, and I'd rather invest in a McDonald's that's investing overseas rather than an overseas company that sells hamburgers that I never heard of, and we're not sure if we can get good accounting numbers on it. And if I have time, I'll read a little article on some of the Chinese stocks. But anyway, all right, let's get on to our first question of the day. Debbie, what do we have there?
First question, Jeff emailed and said that he saw a TV segment on the logging industry. And he was wondering if there are any growth stocks in growing trees.
Oh,
interesting.
That's cute. That's cute. All right, let me read something about the we're going into the paper and forest products, and we're going to talk about four stocks: International Paper, Louisiana Pacific, Plum Creek Timber, and Weyerhaeuser. And just let me read this little blurb. The logging industry. Wood abounds, and I'm reading this from a little quirk I got out of a newspaper article. Wood abounds in your medicine cabinet. Adhesive on bandages are made from tree sap. Pills in tablet form are held together with lignin, a glue extracted from trees. Toothpaste owes its consistency to a cellulose natural wood polymer. And the 20th century chainsaw revolutionized the industry. And now the single grip harvester with scraping blades has revolutionized the chainsaw. It's 10 times faster. In a day, we can cut 70 trees with a chainsaw. That's not cleaning them, that's just cutting them. And now with this single grip harvester, we can cut 700 trees a day. The record is 172 trees per hour, which is what, about 3 trees per minute. All right, folks, we're coming up against a break, and that's the introduction to the paper and forest products, and we'll go into these four companies as soon as we get back. We'll see you on the other side of the break, folks.
This is the special report you've been waiting for. If you want to see the comparable numbers on all the stocks analyzed in this radio program since the beginning of January 2011, in one place, at one time, just go to the Buffett and Beyond site and order the free newsletter. Everyone. Yes, everyone on the monthly newsletter list will also receive a special quarterly report, which lists all the stocks you hear about right here on the Buffett and Beyond radio show. These reports categorize all the stocks as to which stocks should be in your portfolio, which stocks should be in someone else's portfolio, and which stocks should not be in anybody's portfolio. Yes, folks, this ongoing special report is free and updated quarterly so that you may take control of your own investing destiny and achieve results way beyond the averages. Just go to BuffettandBeyond.com and order your free newsletter. And both the monthly newsletter and special quarterly report will be sent to you immediately. Remember, it's BuffettandBeyond.com.
All right, folks, we're back, and we were talking about the paper and forest products industry. And the reason I brought up this single grip harvester, folks, this is amazing. You have a tractor that has this big arm on it, and it grabs the tree. And the chainsaw is part of this single grip harvester, as it's called. The chainsaw cuts it. Now, the tree doesn't fall. The grips on the tree hold it. They turn it sideways, and then they force the tree through these grips where the blades scrape the bark and the branches off. And then the chainsaw cuts it automatically into 8-foot lengths. And then it's put right onto a truck. It's the most amazing thing ever. And they can cut down 700 trees a day. So you wonder, can the logging industry become any more efficient? When you look at some of the things they have out there, and I have, because I came from an area where they used to cut some trees, and these things are absolutely amazing. You say they can't get any faster than that. So is one company going to be better than the other? All right, and just to give you an example about, to answer the question, some of these logging companies, there's 1,163 logging companies in the state of Oregon alone. Now, some of these companies are public, but they're very, very small companies, and others are just private companies. So we have to look at the large companies in this industry, and it's called the paper and forest products industry. And let's talk about these the four companies that we have here. And the first one is International Paper, and the stock symbol is I, as in I, P as in Peter, International Paper. It's a leading paper and packaging manufacturer and distributor. Its three segments include industrial packaging, printing papers, and consumer packaging. It owns and manages 250,000 acres of forest lands in Brazil, as well as the United States, owns a recycling business, and is expanding big overseas, buying 75% of an Indian, that's East Indian, in India, forest company, 60,000 employees, and it's based in Memphis, Tennessee, founded in 1898. Folks, it's an old company. All right, Louisiana Pacific. It's one of the leading manufacturers of building premium building products in North America. Produces oriented strand board, and it's called that's called OSB. Now, strand board is, I'll read about that in a second. Let me finish with Louisiana Pacific. It makes siding, engineered wood products, and other composite wood products. Has 4,000 employees in Nashville, Tennessee. Now, let me see, read something about this orientated strand board. And you've seen it. You've seen it at building sites when they're building homes. And now we'll just give a brief description on it just for our own information, folks. This is learning time right here on Buffett and Beyond. This OSB board is manufactured in wide mats from cross-orientated layers of thin rectangular wooden strips compressed and bonded together with wax and resin adhesives. excuse me. The layers are creating by shredding the wood into strips, which are sifted and then orientated on a belt or wire calls. The mat is made in a forming line, layers are built up, and the external layers aligned in the panel strength axis with internal layers cross-orientated. And it goes on, but it's really, we see it in plywood, in 4x8 foot sheets of plywood, and it looks like a whole bunch of little pieces of wood. But that's made in layers, and the wood goes in one direction on one layer, and then it goes in another direction on another layer, and then it's all mixed up on a third layer. It's all bonded and pressed into a sheet of plywood. Okay, so let's go on to, and that's what Louisiana Pacific makes, and so do the other, some of the other companies. Now, the next company, the third company, is Plum Creek Timber, and that stock symbol is PC, C as in Charlie, L, grows, harvests and markets timber and logs and manufactures forest products such as timber and plywood. One of the largest timber landowners in the U.S., folks, get this. This is going to blow you away. It owns 6.8 million acres across 19 states. Now, 6.8 million acres. Folks, the state of Rhode Island is less than a million acres. So when you talk about 6.8 million acres across the state, the United States, we're talking about maybe seven or eight states the size of Rhode Island. Okay, it is a REIT. It's a real estate investment trust. And we're going to go into why these companies are now forming REITs. And a REIT, what, has to give out 95% of its earnings to the shareholders. The trust also focuses on mineral extraction and natural gas production, communication, and transportation. Plum Creek Timber was founded in 1989 and is based in Seattle, Washington, with 1,200 employees. So it's a smaller company of these groups. And the last one is Weyerhaeuser, and the symbol is WY, the stock symbol. And it's a forest product company, grows and harvests trees, builds homes. I didn't know that they built homes. And it manufactures forest products worldwide. It grows and harvests trees for use as lumber, other wood building products, pulp and paper. The company manages, here's another one. This is three times larger than Plum Creek. 20.5 million acres of forest. It's like owning about 25 states of Rhode Island. So that's how large, how much timberland these people own. It also sells timber, minerals, and oil and gas. Well, I guess if you're going to own that much property, you're going to find some oil and gas sooner or later. Timberland tracts, seed, and seedlings. So it sells seeds and seedlings to other companies. Poles, plywood, hardwood lumber products. In addition, the company offers structural lumber products for use in structural framing of new residential repair and remodel, engineered lumber products for use in the floor and roof joist. So when you're looking at a new home being built and a crane or a truck brings in all these roof joists that are already put together, in other words, the entire frame of the roof, and then the builders just put them in place, a crane puts them up there, the guys nail them, and that's the end of the story. So a roof goes on in one day now rather than a week. just because these roof joists are made in a factory under climate control conditions. So they're bam, bam, bam. They whip them right out. And they bring them by truck to the lumber site. All right. Now, Weyerhaeuser has 15,000 employees, and the company was founded in 1900 and is based in Federal Way, Washington. That's Washington State, folks. Okay, let's look at these companies now. We have International Paper, Plum Creek Timber, Weyerhaeuser, and Louisiana Pacific. Now remember, think of your bank account as I go over these stocks. The average stock in the S&P 500, think bank account S&P 500, has a return on equity of about 13.5%. So if we want to outperform the S&P 500, which we do, folks, otherwise you buy the S&P 500, so we want to outperform, and if we can do that, we can outperform 96% of the professional mutual fund money managers over the course of 10 years. Folks, that's what our benchmark is, outperform the S&P 500. All right, we'll go into these numbers. We're coming up against a break, and we'll go into these numbers right after the break, and we'll see how the clean surplus method works and whether any of these stocks should be in your portfolio. All right, folks, we'll see you on the other side of the break.
Education. It's the greatest equalizer in the world. Dr. J.B. Farwell's must-read book entitled Buffett and Beyond sets a new standard for investing. Based on the clean surplus method used by Warren Buffett, the book is a combination of the fundamentals of investing and the principles of finance all rolled into one. It features a sound, cohesive strategy that can help you to consistently beat the averages. Financial experts across America call it a true addition to the field of investing and an extraordinary explanation of a proven investment strategy. Buffett and Beyond, the must-read for savvy investors. Get your copy online at www.buffettandbeyond.com. That's buffettandbeyond.com, or call 561-906-6300. And for those of you with iPads and Kindles, your ebook costs just $9.95. You will also receive a free email version of updates and continuing research, which when added to the information in the book, will give you all the information you need to fully understand the Buffett and Beyond concept of portfolio development. Remember, just go to www.buffettandbeyond.com.
All right, folks, we're back, and we're looking at Plum Creek Timber, International Paper, Weyerhaeuser, and Louisiana Pacific. Now, again, just let me repeat what we left off last segment with, that we want stocks in our portfolio that have the highest ROEs, and the stocks with the highest ROEs over time outperform the stocks with lower ROEs. And just think of your bank account. If you have a bank account that's paying you 10%, is it going to grow faster than a bank account that's paying you 5% if you leave all the money in? The answer is, yeah, of course. So the same with stocks. And the only problem is, in the past, we've not been able to compare stocks the way we have with bank accounts. But now, using this method, clean surplus, which was an accounting methodology, we are able to construct portfolios that stocks made with higher ROEs than stocks of lower ROEs, and the stocks with the higher ROEs continually outperform. Yeah, I will do. Wow. Continually outperform stocks portfolios made up of stocks with lower ROEs. So we want to put stocks in our portfolios that have ROEs higher than the S&P 500, and our own rules of engagement here are that we want stocks that have ROEs higher than 20% or higher. And those portfolios continually outperform the averages. And we have the proof in CPA-reviewed results, folks. Okay, back to our four stocks here. International Paper has an ROE of 7%. That's half that of the average stock in the S&P 500. And we would expect that stock to underperform most of the stocks in the S&P 500. Weyerhaeuser has an ROE of about 4%, which is way, way low, and Louisiana Pacific barely makes money. However, these stocks, Plum Creek Timber, I forgot the best stock here. Plum Creek Timber has an ROE in the 20s. So in other words, just by looking at these numbers without knowing what they did, without even knowing the names of the companies, I would look at Plum Creek Timber and say that's the best stock out of all these other stocks. Now, Plum Creek Timber pays a 4.8% dividend, and it is paying out all of the money it makes in the form of dividends. So if you're buying this stock, you're not buying it to grow. You're not going to see this stock appreciate very much. You're buying it. It's in the form of a REIT. You're buying it for the income. So if you like a company that's making, has a 4.8% dividend, this stock may be for you. It's a good, it's a well-run company. The 5-year return of this company is about 25%. And folks, that's all dividends. That's all dividends. So if we look at the appreciation of the stock, it hasn't gone up. That 25% is all in the form of dividends. So really, the stock has not moved in 5 years. International Paper, which we said should underperform Plum Creek Timber because it has a lower ROE, returned negative 5% over the past 5 years, but it has a dividend of 4.4%. So even with that negative 5% there, all the income has been in the form of dividends. So the stock has actually gone down about 25%. But if you look at those 4.4% dividend per year over 5 years, you're looking at about 22-23% return that you're earning. However, the stock is going down. Weyerhaeuser, the stock has returned a negative 10% over the past 5 years. And it, the stock has actually gone down about 25%. And the only reason we have a negative 10% here is because it pays a 3.7% dividend. And Louisiana Pacific, that has an ROE of about 1, and it's negative most of the time, just projected 2012 is a 1% ROE. Folks, this is falls in the category of the good, the bad, and the ugly, and it's ugly. And what's our favorite word on this show when it comes to stocks with negative ROEs? The answer is no. We don't want to buy Louisiana Pacific. Woo, way to go. And it has returned a negative 75% over the past 5 years. So, folks, just looking at the ROE, just like your bank account, we can tell with good probability, especially when we form portfolios, that the stocks with the higher ROEs are going to outperform stocks with lower ROEs. All right, folks, we're coming up against a break, and we'll recap this right on the other side. We'll see you on the other side, folks. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry, folks. I'm reading the clock wrong. Let's wrap this up right now. Yeah, I know. We're coming into this. We look at the debt of these companies, and the companies have, just to continue with them, they have a little too much debt for our liking. And, the only stock that we like out of this, and we wouldn't buy it, and because we want growth, we don't want income, is Plum Creek Timber, because it's, the stock has not gone down in the past 5 years like all the other stocks, like International Paper, Weyerhaeuser, and Louisiana Pacific, have all gone down dramatically over the past 5 years. Plum Creek Timber is the only company that has not gone down. It hasn't gone up, but it has not gone down. But it's given you almost a 5% dividend over the past 5 years. So out of these stocks, Louisiana Pacific is just plain ugly. Plum Creek Timber, if you want income. The other two stocks, we wouldn't touch either. So, folks, that's it on this industry, and we'll see you on the other side of our break.
It's been called the only approach to developing predictability and a successful portfolio. The Buffett and Beyond Investor Course, approved by the National Association of State Board of Accountancy. Dr. J.B. Farwell's Comprehensive Guide to Clean Surplus Analysis is a benchmark for investment education. Over 300 pages of instruction, correlations, and simple instruction that gets to the bottom line of outperforming the market indexes while minimizing risk. Now you can rebuild your portfolio with a proven and time-tested strategy used by some of the most successful investors on the planet. The Buffett and Beyond Investor Course by Dr. J.B. Farwell. Order online today at www.buffettandbeyond.com. That's www.buffettandbeyond.com.
All right, folks, we're back. And just once again to reiterate what's going on with International Paper, Plum Creek Timber, Weyerhaeuser, and Louisiana Pacific. Wouldn't touch those stocks. Plum Creek Timber, maybe if you want income. But, folks, there's growth stocks out there that are paying almost that much, and that will give you appreciation. These companies are not going to go up. Louisiana Pacific is just plain ugly. So I don't like this entire industry. All right, Debbie, we have much. I know we have lots of questions, so what's our next one there?
Okay, JB. We had a call from Phil, and he talked about taking the grandkids to Disney. And he was so impressed that he went out and purchased some shares, and he's asking, did I do good?
Well, what's one of our favorite?
Not favorite, but we use it a lot.
Oh, the answer is no. Well, and I shouldn't say no so bad, because Disney is an average stock anymore. It used to be a hot, hot stock way back when. It had an ROE way above 20%. Used to be in our portfolio about, we got out of it around 1993, 1994, and haven't been in it since, because I'll tell you, folks, they're doing something goofy up there. I don't know what it is.
But
it's just a Mickey Mouse operation anymore. Oh. But yeah, okay. I'm sorry. It is an average stock now. But let's read these. And a couple other companies in that same industry, News Corp, Time Warner, and Scripps Network, all of which you've heard about. And Disney operates media networks, which is 45% of its revenue now. And this includes ABC and ESPN. It operates the Disney parks, of course, and resorts, and now a cruise line. And I don't know about those cruise lines, folks. Anyway, studio entertainment, consumer products, and interactive media. Tokyo, Hong Kong, 149,000 employees, and they're out of Burbank, California. News Corp, worldwide entertainment news company. They own Fox and 27 TV stations. Cable TV networks, film and TV show productions, satellite TV operations. They own Sky in Italy. They own Star in Asia, and they own 39% of British Sky Broadcasting, 52,000 employees. This is Keith Rupert Murdoch's company, and they're home based on the Avenue of the Americas in New York City, folks. Time Warner, major media conglomerate, three segments, filmed entertainment, Warner Brothers, New Line Cinema, networks, HBO, Cinemax, TNT, CNN, and they're into publishing. Then they put out Time Magazine and People. They have 31,000 employees, and they're in Time Warner Center, New York. And then we have Scripps Networks, lifestyle and interactive service companies. It conducts business through two main operating segments, and none of these I've heard of except the Food Network, Fine Living, Great American Country, HGTV, and Interactive Services, whatever that means, leading online search and comparison shopping sales. They're in Brazil, and they're based out of Cincinnati, Ohio. So a lot of that doesn't mean much to me, folks. When I read it, and I've been in this business over 30 years now, and I really don't know what that means. So what's my fallback? My fallback, and in fact, it's my first filter, is to look at if these companies are making any money, because otherwise, everything you say about them makes no difference to me. So let's go back and let's look at the numbers of these companies, and we're looking at the clean surplus ROE, and remember, bank account, S&P 500 index returns about 13.5%. So we want to fill our portfolios with stocks that earn greater than 13.5%. Let's look at Disney first. It has an ROE of 13.5%. So it's an average company. And this is what I was talking about in the beginning of the segment, is that Disney has fallen from a growth company into an average company. The 5-year return has been 12%, 1-year return negative 4. So it's doing about what the market, a little bit, over 5 years, a little bit better than the market. It has a dividend of 1.5%, and it's an average company, folks. I can't say any more than that. I can't be optimistic about this little baby here. And I'd like to be, because we all love Disney. All right, let's go to News Corp. News Corp has an ROE of about 10%. So it has an ROE, bank account, News Corp, bank account is paying less than the average stock. So it's paying an ROE of 10%. We would expect it to perform less than Disney. And over the past 10 years, it has had a negative 15% return, where Disney had a positive 12% return. We would expect Disney to outperform News Corp. Looking at the ROEs and the returns over the past 5 years indicate that Disney is a better stock than News Corp. Let's go to Scripps Network. And I don't care for Scripps just because we want stocks that have a long time period of ROE. And Scripps is, we only have numbers for it over the past 5 years. It looks pretty good. However, it doesn't have enough of an operating history for me to get into it because, folks, some of you call me conservative. I'm not conservative. We are conservative. We don't want stocks in our portfolio that go down more than the average during recessions. And we look at Scripps Network. It doesn't have much of an operating history, so we can't compare it to a stock like Disney or News Corp or even Time Warner. All right, so we're just going to drop Scripps Network right now, and let's go to Time Warner, the last stock in this group. And it has a nice 20% ROE. So we would look at Time Warner and say, whoa, not bad, folks. The problem is, the next step we take in clean surplus ROE is we look at 2008 and 2009, because 2009 was a recession, folks. Remember, it wasn't that long ago. And if a company's earnings get reduced during the recession, that means this stock is going to get hammered when the stock market goes down. Because when the stock market goes down during a recession, all the stocks go down. Your stocks go down, my stocks go down. But we want a portfolio that does not go down more than the average stock in the S&P 500. And we want a portfolio that when the market rebounds, it rebounds twice as fast as the S&P 500. And that's what these portfolios do. So Time Warner, that had actually went from a 30% ROE in 2008 down to a 17% in 2009. Folks, that stock got hammered during the recession, and now it's starting to climb its way back. We don't like cyclical stocks. In other words, a cyclical stock is one that goes down when the economy goes down. There are stocks out there that we've gone over on this program that their ROEs were not affected. In other words, their earnings were not affected negatively during the recession. The stock went down because all the stocks went down, but the company kept making money. And that's the kind of stock that comes back when the market comes back. And that stock comes back twice as fast as the market, three times as fast. So Time Warner, even though it has a 20% ROE, we don't like it because it fell drastically in 2009. So out of these four companies, Disney's, News Corp, Scripps, and Time Warner, we wouldn't touch any of them, folks. We wouldn't touch any of them. So I don't have a good stock out of this group for you. Okay, we're coming up against the break, and we'll see you on the other side, folks. Bye now.
The best things in life are still free. And to prove it, Dr. J.B. Farwell will send you a free monthly newsletter which analyzes most of the stocks you hear about on the Buffett and Beyond radio show. Keep in mind that Dr. Farwell is not a broker or fee-based money manager, so you can count on sound investment insight and stock analysis designed only for your success. So if you want the benefit of Dr. Farwell's expertise for yourself, be sure to sign up for the Buffett and Beyond free monthly newsletter featuring expert analysis and potential stock winners for your consideration. All of your free information is simply based on the world-renowned Buffett and Beyond strategy. To sign up for this free monthly newsletter, simply go to www.buffettandbeyond.com. That's www.buffettandbeyond.com. Or call 561-906-6300 to order your subscription free by regular mail.
Okay, folks, we're back for the last segment of our show, and we've gone over the entertainment industry, we've gone over the paper products and forest industry, and we really don't have a good stock out of all of those companies, folks. So we've had one ugly stock, okay, let's see if we can find something here. Debbie, do we have another question over there?
We do, JB, and I'm reading from an email that says, Kramer said Home Depot was a great company with good results, executes well, and same-store sales up 4% year over year, while Lowe's had flat results, doesn't execute well, and same-store sales flat year over year. And Kramer said that Lowe's was behind the curve, and we all want to know, JB, what does all this mean?
Well, okay. We've gone over Home Depot and Lowe's before on this show, but it's a very popular question, so evidently not all of you are listening to the show every time it's on. So we'll go over this again. Why? Because we pass a Home Depot every time we go out of the house, it seems, and we pass a Lowe's right on the other side of the road. So let's go over these. Okay, Home Depot. The Home Depot, together with its subsidiaries, operates as a home improvement retailer, which we know. The company stores sell a range of building materials, home improvement products, lawn and garden products, do-it-yourself, do-it-for-me, and professional customers. It also offers installation services. In addition, the company engages in the professional installation of various products, such as generators and furnace and central air systems that are sold through its in-home sales program. It has about 2,245 stores in the U.S., Canada, Mexico, and China. So we kind of like that overseas exposure. Not saying we like the company yet, because we'll get to that in the numbers, but it does have overseas exposure. Based in Atlanta, Georgia, with 31,000 employees. All right, Lowe's, and some people call this the copycat company. Lowe's company is actually older than Home Depot, because it was founded in 1952, and Home Depot was founded in 1978. And Lowe's Companies operates as a home improvement retailer. The company offers a range of products for maintenance, repair, remodeling, home decorating, and property maintenance. That's something I didn't know about Lowe's, and I was totally unaware of their property maintenance program. It provides home improvement products in the categories of appliances, lumbers, millwork, building materials, lawn and landscape products. In other words, if you look in Lowe's, you might think you're in Home Depot. The company also offers installation services through independent contractors in various product categories. Has 1,700 stores. Remember, Home Depot had 2,200 stores. Lowe's has 1,700 stores, home improvement stores in the United States, Canada, and Mexico. Offers its products through electronic product catalogs and Lowe's.com. That's Lowe's.com. Lowe's Company was founded in 52, as I mentioned, and based in Mooresville, North Carolina. Okay, so those are the two big companies. Now we come to two other companies, one which you've heard of and one maybe you haven't heard of and maybe you should. Fastenal, the company Fastenal, and that stock symbol is FAST, Fast. Fastenal. The company is engaged as a wholesaler and retailer of industrial and construction supplies. Industrial and construction supplies were grouped into 10 product lines, of which fasteners was one of them. Now we know how the company got its name. Tools, equipment, cutting tools, and abrasives. See, now they're into industrial stuff, Fastenal. When you talk about cutting tools and abrasives, hydraulics, pneumatics, plumbing, and HVAC. That's air conditioning, or home ventilation and air conditioning. I'm sorry, heating, ventilation, and air conditioning, HVAC. Material handling, storage, packaging, janitorial supplies, electrical supplies, welding supplies. They are in U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, Mexico, Singapore, China, and the Netherlands. I don't know of any company that's up in the Netherlands. Okay, that's Fastenal. And the last company is Sherwin-Williams, and we've all heard of that paint company. That stock symbol is SHW, Sherwin-Williams. It engages in the development, manufacture, distribution, and sale of paints, which we knew, coatings and related products, primarily in North and South America and the Caribbean region, Europe and Asia. It offers architectural paints and coatings, industrial marine products, and it goes on and on and on. We know Sherwin-Williams as Dutch Boy, Krylon, Minwax, and Thompson's Water Seal. I use that on my deck, folks. Thompson's Water Seal. Doesn't mean it's good or not. It's good enough. I don't know if it's the best product out there, and I don't know if it's not. So I'm not saying one way or another. I know it's pretty good. It operates 3,390 specialty paint stores, and the company was founded in 1866 in Cleveland, Ohio, with 32,000 employees. Woo! It's a larger company than I thought. All right, folks, so we know those companies. May not have heard of Fastenal, but, boy, it's out there. And, of course, we've heard of Home Depot, Lowe's, Sherwin-Williams. Now, back to the numbers. This is where it's going to tell whether we should be investing in these companies or not. So we have, remember, S&P 500 has an ROE of 13.5%. So we're looking at bank account, S&P 500, the average stock in the S&P 500 returns 13.5%. And we're trying to fill our portfolio with stocks that have a greater than 13.5%. All right, let's start with the lowest, and let's start with Lowe's. Lowe's has an ROE of about 12%. So, Debbie, are you there? Can you tell us what Cramer said about Lowe's in that last question?
Cramer said that Lowe's was behind the curve, that Lowe's had flat results, doesn't execute well, and same-store sales flat year over year.
Well, okay, so we're looking at that ROE, and that's probably true because it has an ROE less than the average stock in the S&P 500, which means it's going to perform less than average. And Home Depot has a 12% ROE, so Home Depot is not doing better in the numbers than Lowe's is, folks. And over the past 5 years, with the market down about 8%, we're looking at Lowe's with a negative 30%, and Home Depot with a negative 5%. So, folks, really, just looking at the ROE, with ROEs, think of your bank account Lowe's and bank account Home Depot have an ROE of 12%, where the S&P 500, the average stock in the S&P 500 has an ROE of 13.5%. So we wouldn't buy Home Depot or Lowe's. We would just not put those into our portfolios because they're not growing faster than the S&P 500. And we can see that in the past 5 years, Lowe's has actually decreased 30%, folks. That's not good. Home Depot has decreased 5%. That's not good. All right, let's get into the other two stocks. And Sherwin-Williams has an ROE of about 14%. So it's a little bit better than the average stock, and we would expect it to outperform the average stock. And over the past 5 years, it's returned a positive 35%. That's pretty good. That's not bad. And over the past 1 year, it has returned zero. So it hasn't done anything in the past year. Of course, the market hasn't done anything in the past year either. So out of those three stocks, we would rather see Sherwin-Williams. We would think that Sherwin-Williams would be better than Home Depot and Lowe's, and it has performed better than those two companies over the past 5 years. But now let's go to Fastenal. Fastenal has a 23% ROE. So, folks, this is a neat little company here. Now, one thing wrong with it, okay, Fastenal with a 23% ROE should have at least doubled what Home Depot and Lowe's has done over the past 5 years, and maybe even double what Sherwin-Williams has done over the past 5 years. And Fastenal over the past 5 years has returned in stock appreciation 85%. So it's 85% where the market has had a negative 5-year return. Lowe's and Home Depot have had negative returns over the past 5 years. Sherwin-Williams was the only one that did something with a 35% return over 5 years. And Fastenal out of this group has an 85% return over 5 years, and in the past 1 year has returned 40%. Not bad. The only thing that worries me about Fastenal is that it's reinvesting about half of the money it makes back into the company. And that means if it has a 23% ROE, it will grow about half of that rate in stock appreciation. So we would expect it to grow about 10 to 12% a year, which is not bad. Pays a dividend of 1.5%. And the good thing about it, has no debt. The only problem with Fastenal is in 2009, during the recession, its ROE went from 26% down to 14%. So it is sensitive to the economic cycles, and we call that a cyclical stock. So therefore, we are a little hesitant on Fastenal. It looks like a pretty good company. We just don't like it during recession. So if you're good at figuring out when the next recession is coming, you can buy that stock, but don't forget to get out of it. But really, it's had a nice consistent ROE except for the 2009 recession. All right, folks, we're coming to the end of our show, and I just want to read something because some people keep asking us, do we invest in small and mid-cap stocks, and what about overseas stocks? And the answer is, Debbie, help me with this, our favorite answer, no. We don't. And the answer is because mid-cap, most mid-cap, and the small-cap stocks don't have a good operating history. In other words, they haven't been around long enough. Some mid-cap stocks have, and we are in those stocks, some of them. and we'll go over them. We have gone over them on the show, but we are in a few mid-cap stocks, no small-cap stocks, and very few mid-cap stocks, because we want a long operating history to see what these companies do during recessions. We don't like cyclical stocks. And as far as foreign stocks, let me read this little article here. Beijing, this is out of Chinese Stocks Irregularity, a series of alleged frauds at little-known Chinese companies listed in the U.S. has triggered a stunning shift in sentiment among investors who are now dumping even the darlings of the Chinese internet as they focus on hidden business risk. For years, investors swept up on the broader Chinese growth story gave U.S.-listed Chinese companies the benefit of the doubt on governance and regulatory issues. And this was particularly true of the internet sector. Investors were prepared to overlook unreliable internet traffic data. I wasn't, and you shouldn't either. I just threw my two cents in there. And they disregarded previous censorship and reliance on inherently risky corporate structures. Folks, this is why we don't invest in most overseas companies unless they've been around a very long time, a very, very long time. We would rather invest in a McDonald's or a Starbucks, a U.S. company that's been around a long time that invests overseas, because that's where the growth is, folks. So we don't invest in overseas companies. We invest in U.S. companies that invest overseas, and that keeps us safe, and we don't have to worry about those accounting irregularities. All right, folks, out of all the stocks we listed today in the entertainment industry, in the forest products industry, wouldn't get into any of those stocks. And in the retail building supply, which is S&P, Lowe's, Sherwin-Williams, and Fastenal, possibly Fastenal is the only company we would be in because it looks pretty good over time. All right, folks, we're coming to the end of our time segment. We've had a good investing week. Next week will be even better, and we'll see you next time, folks. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to Buffett and Beyond with Dr. J.B. Farwell. If you're ready to take the next step in your financial future, be sure and order the free newsletter and free special report. Predictability of earnings growth is the key to a great stock selection, and competitive advantage is the key to predictability. If you have questions you would like answered on the show or for personal portfolio application, contact Dr. J.B. Farwell through his website at www.buffettandbeyond.com. Remember, that's buffettandbeyond.com. And be sure to join us next time for more expert analysis with Dr. J.B. Farwell at Buffett and Beyond, or go to the Buffett and Beyond website for all our past shows. That's www.buffettandbeyond.com. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.